You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Tuesday the 10th of March. It's finally here. Day one of the Cheltenham Festival is live on William Hill Racing Radio. We're on air from 1pm. Myself, John Gibby, in the presenter's chair for day one. I'll be joined by Ross Bradley and Paddy Askell. We'll have Ken Peterson and Mark Walton live at the track as well, and everything you need for coverage of the first day of the greatest show on turf. Fantastic action to come from Cheltenham, really looking forward to it, and to look ahead to day one, preview it in plenty of detail. Gareth Topham is alongside me here. Hello, Gareth.
Hello, John.
Are you well?
I'm very well.
Now, a bit of a recurring joke over the National Hunt season has been that you never think it's time to look ahead to Cheltenham. You always think it's too soon.
Yeah.
Right now, we're on the eve of Cheltenham as we record this. Monday afternoon. It's Cheltenham Eve. Is it time yet?
It's time.
Is it?
It's time.
Fantastic. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. Relieved it's on as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks as if everything's going to be running, you know, fairly good conditions as well. I know there's quite a bit of rain in the area today, but it looks like tomorrow may start on fairly testing ground, but it's going to be fresh ground for the first 2 days. Of course, they're on the old track, and I think it's meant to be relatively dry and breezy throughout the course of the week, so conditions are only going to get quicker as the week goes on. It should be no excuses ground, and we should be set fair for 4 excellent days sport. And yeah, just thank goodness it's on, because obviously it's been a little bit doubtful for whatever reason, you know, over the last fortnight or so.
And as we record this on Monday as well, there was a government meeting earlier on, a COBRA meeting, to sort of decide whether public meetings were going to be banned, sports events were going to be called, or schools were going to be closed, all this sort of thing. And I guess that was kind of the last chance where we might have been in trouble for the meeting. Fortunately, that's not happening, as it is in some other countries. So though we might look a little bit further down the road to potentially Aintree being in trouble, at least for now we can enjoy Cheltenham knowing it is, as you say, pretty much definitely going to go ahead.
Yeah, it's important to note that obviously, you know, as a country at the moment, we're not quite as badly affected as one or two other nations. Obviously, Italy, you know, have got it terrible at the moment, which is, you know, really awful. And we heard the news there yesterday that all of the northern section of the country, you know, people have been put into to quarantining as such. They've been, you know, they're not allowed to venture away from that area. And if we'd seen a spike in numbers over the weekend with this meeting that's taken place today, we might have had our doubts that about this week going ahead, and indeed future big meetings going ahead. But although the numbers are rising sort of steadily, and the government and the experts are predicting that, yeah, this is going to get a lot bigger before it gets any better. You know, it's not rising at a, you know, dare I say it, a hugely alarming rate of knots. We're looking at tens per day. I think today we've risen by around about 45, something like that, whereas yesterday it was up in the 60s. So it's not spiking, you know, horribly just yet. And obviously now I think it's put beyond doubt that this meeting is going to be okay for the next 4 days. Obviously the Grand Nationals in what, another three and a half weeks, is it?
So it's always difficult. Is it 3 weeks or 4 weeks?
It's you know, so it is a little bit of a race in itself. You know, we don't know where we're going to be come the time of Aintree. I've been racing the last few days and speaking to various press colleagues. The general consensus is that, well, with regards to Aintree, there could well be a contingency plan in place, even to the point where perhaps they could, I don't think it's official, but they, you know, there is that possibility of racing behind closed doors. We've seen this in other countries. We saw it with a big meeting over in Dubai on Saturday. Their Super Saturday was run behind closed doors. I don't see how cancelling the sport, how shutting the sport down, can be to the benefit of anybody involved. It's an industry which employs 17,000-18,000 people across the spectrum. So I can't see how that's going to necessarily benefit anybody. And hopefully, if the cases do surge and the situation gets really bad, there is a possibility that racing can carry on behind closed doors. Hopefully it won't affect these big meetings coming up. But for the time being, I think we have to take what's happened as, you know, positive news, good news. We haven't got enormous numbers just yet. Cheltenham looks like it's going to be going ahead completely unscathed, and we should be set for a fantastic week.
Let's crack on with looking ahead to the first day of Cheltenham now and the festival in general. And we'll start off, as we always do on Tuesday's Racing Podcast, looking at the Monday jury in the Racing Post. We take their questions, we ask them to our pundit who joins us here in the Daily Racing Podcast. And we start off with a question about the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Who is going to win the first race of the Cheltenham Festival? And I'll just remind the listeners, or let them know if they weren't already aware, that we are paying 7 places on the first race of the Cheltenham Festival here at William Hill. That's online. That's in our shops as well. So you can take advantage of that. 7 places. Time of recording, 16 runners before any have been taken out or anything like that. So that's a great each way look into the first race. Gareth, what do you fancy in the opener?
7 places, what a fantastic offer that is. I quite like Chantry House for Nicky Henderson. Obviously,
I'm glad you said one in each way price.
yeah. I do think that the favourite, Shishkin, is short enough. The stats are not necessarily all for Shishkin. I think there's a line of, or a stat, with regards to horses which have won a prep race around Huntingdon. And it's pretty poor, those that follow on the Huntingdon win with a win at the Cheltenham Festival. Obviously, this horse won their good race. It was at the Sydney Banks their last time out. He does look very smart, but so far he's been winning, you know, fairly small races. For all that was a decent race, a pattern race, it was a small race. Tuesday's race is going to be a completely different kettle of fish. And the one time that, you know, he did contest a race in a massive field, he came to grief. That was at Newbury earlier on in the season. He did win at Newbury the time after. But I just think he's obviously trained by an absolute magician. There's been a lot of talk up and down the country about Shishkin, and obviously now we're minus Envoy Allen in this race. I just think he's probably a little bit short, given what he's achieved so far. That said, the one that I'm tipping, Chantry House, you could argue, has achieved even less, because he hasn't got a win in Patton Company next to his name. But what this horse does possess is winning form around Cheltenham, albeit on the new course. He was a ready winner at Cheltenham 2 outings ago at the December meeting, where he beat a very good horse in Stolen Silver. And it was just the style in which he went about his work at Newbury the time after, in the middle of February, where he won that novices event, again under Barry Geraghty. Barry retains the ride. He just looks to have a bit of star quality about him, this horse. And yeah, he's an each way price. He's 11-2 with us currently here at William Hill. We've got the 7 places on offer. He's got that course winning form, and for me, that's a real sort of asset. And there's only 2 horses in the race that have got Cheltenham winning form prior to tomorrow. The other one's a massive outsider, but it is important. And as I say, he can go in big fields, he can go around the track. I just think he possesses a touch of star quality, this horse. I think Nicky Henderson will have the winner. It might not necessarily be the favourite. I'm with Chantry House.
Chantry House to potentially get the festival off to a bang for Nicky Henderson, Barry Geraghty and JP McManus. That's the first question on the Monday jury. The second takes us all the way over to Friday. Will Album Photo successfully defend his Gold Cup crown is the question, Gareth. It's proven incredibly difficult to do in recent years. However, you'd have to say he's been given the right prep to potentially retain it.
Yeah, we've only seen him out the once, haven't we? That was at Tremor in the race he won last year prior to going on to Gold Cup victory. And yeah, his connections have just kept it very simple indeed. Kept him fresh. We've seen basically what the Irish horses are all about. They've kept sort of beating one another. Delta Work's been doing particularly well. And he rates one of many dangers in what looks a very open year. But the one I like is Santini. I think he's the improving horse. It was announced the other day that Connections are going to be sticking a pair of cheek pieces on him for the first time, which, given how he looked last time when he was coming up the hill in the Cotswold Chase, where he got the better of Bristol Demay, who of course was placed in the Gold Cup last year.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine that the form of that win, you know, definitely makes Santini very competitive. And I think on Friday he's having only his 10th career outing. You know, he's a very lightly raced horse. He could still have plenty of improvement left in him.
Which is something you can't say for quite a few of these that are up in the Gold Cup.
Exactly. And for all that, Album Photo is the reigning champ, and obviously You know, he's just been left alone whilst these horses have been slugging it out over 3 miles in the Dublin Racing Festival, around Cheltenham, whatever. You know, he's going to be fresher than most. And again, that's going to be a big, big plus for Album Photo supporters. You know, in a lot of ways, he's been almost the forgotten horse of the race, because attending a couple of Cheltenham Festival preview nights in the last week and watching them online, you know, he's not necessarily the horse that people are talking about yet. He's the one that's been there and has done this before. He's got an excellent chance of defending his crown. But again, I think it's an open year. And I just think that Santini is the improving horse. And, you know, this has been the plan for a long, long time. It'd be a great result for British point-to-point racing as well, I hasten to add, if he does win. Because he started off his career in a British point-to-point, did Santini. He's improved in each run. He was placed at the Cheltenham Festival last year behind Top of the Game. So again, he's got this Cheltenham knowledge, which is a massive thing, a massive plus. And he will be my selection in Friday's Gold Cup. But it wouldn't surprise me if Album Photo was able to go back and retain his title.
One of our resident point-to-point fans, and indeed point-to-point commentators, Gareth Topham there, with his views on the Gold Cup. Next question, nice and simple. Who's your banker for the entire meeting?
Can I take two? I'll give you one at a short price and one at a bigger price.
Oh, okay. We'll allow that.
Is that allowed?
We'll allow that.
I think Manella Melody in the Mayor's Novices Hurdle is one with a cracking chance. I was actually against her last time out because she was on unfavourable terms with horses that she'd met before in the weights. But she swept them aside with ease. And she is now favourite for the Bromhead Yard on, I think it's Thursday.
The Mayor's Novice. It is Thursday, yeah.
So it's going to be the hottest race that she's contested, but she seems pretty versatile with regards to the ground. She's very classy. She looked very good last year as well. I just really like her. So Manella Melody would be my idea of a short-priced sort of banker, away from the sort of obvious ones, you know, your Paisley Parks, your Envoy Allens, etc.
I see a few people in the paper have been putting up the likes of, you know, Envoy Allen, a couple of times, Tiger Roll, Benny Dejo. Yeah, come on, let's buck up your ideas.
Let's try to be a little bit original here. So Manella Melody, and the one at the bigger price would be Harry Senior in the Spud Race, as Darren Owen so eloquently puts it, the Albert Bartlett on Friday. It's a race where, if you look at the winners over the last 10-12 years, a lot of big priced horses have gone in. The last favourite to win it, I think, was at Fisher's Cross. And I give you an idea of how long ago that was. AP McCoy rode it to win. And that was quite some time before he retired as well.
No, so, I don't even think that was his final season, was it?
No, I don't think it was. So it has been a few years. He's not a massive price, Harry Senior. I think he's around about 10 to 1, 8 to 1, 10 to 1, that sort of region. He won at this track on the new course as well, critically, last time on trials day. And I just thought he showed a splendid turn of foot to put the race to bed in between the last two hurdles. He's got a real touch of star quality about him, this horse. He races in the Brocade Racing Silks, the Native River colours. He's been well talked up by his connections, and he stays particularly well, and that's what you need for this Albert Bartlett race. It's a race where you need a grinder more so than a flashy horse, and I think Harry Senior, he's got that bit of star quality about him, but he does grind away and stay all day. So and connections think he's going to improve massively from the step up from 2.5 miles to 3 as well. So Harry Senior, he's around about 8 or 10 to 1, so he's a good each way price, and he's a strong interest of mine on Friday.
Next question is, which favourite are you most uncertain about? 28 to choose from.
Yeah, probably Hazel Hill in the Fox Hunters, who I actually napped last year. It was my nap. He's sort of one of my lays, I think, this year.
Rags to riches, or riches to rags, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And strangely, this year, I've no real strong view on the Fox Hunters, apart from I think Hazel Hill is just far too short. I think he's around about 4 to 1. I was just alarmed by the way he jumped at Wetherby last time out. The first two home in that race, himself and Manella Rocco. They're first and second favourites at present. I wouldn't be banking on Manella Rocco to go back to back to back, because he's won two races. I think he's a horse who's had win problems in the past. He was, of course, second in a Gold Cup a few years ago.
I'm not a Hunter Chase man, but I, at the same time, I can't really see Manella Rocco winning a Fox Hunters.
No, I wouldn't be convinced. And again, it's just the prices. It's just the prices. I think they're both a bit short. But Hazel Hill, in particular, for whatever reason, he's a horse that, you know, he has jumped a little out to the side in the past, but that race at Wetherby where he lost the race by less than what he lost at the fences. So, you know, for me, he should have won that. And I think connections have come out and have said, you know, look, we've ironed out these issues since, but what was it? What was it that caused that? And he won't be able to get away with such errors like that at Cheltenham. He couldn't do it in a five-runner race around Wetherby, which is a much easier track to jump than Cheltenham. So I would have my reservations over him at a short price, and it wouldn't surprise me if this year's Fox Hunters went to something at a much more juicy price.
Okay, next we move to the handicaps. Who catches your eye in those, Gareth?
Well, on Tuesday, I quite like Imperial Aura, who runs in the 2.5 mile novices handicap towards the end of the card.
The Northern Trust, I believe it is.
That's the one.
Now called.
I've been reminded already on today's show by one of the emailers that Kim Bailey has gone a very long time since his last Cheltenham Festival winner. But his luck's got to change sometime, and tomorrow he's actually got some very good chances, particularly towards the end of the card, and I think this Imperial Aura is one of them. Chased home the lovely Simply the Bets last time out. I think that's good form. He's been well supported. He's been talked up at a few of these Cheltenham preview nights as well. I think a lot of people will be following in Imperial Aura tomorrow. Later in the week, I think Scandiberg for Ollie Murphy. I think Ollie could have a big week, particularly with his handicap horses. Obviously, he's got itchy feet.
Yeah.
Contesting a grade one.
The big chance in the Marsh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But Scandiberg is a horse that, again, he's got the Cheltenham winning form. He seems to stay particularly well. I think he's got an excellent chance in the Potemps final. I think he, again, is around about 10-1. And if that all goes wrong, wait until the final race of the meeting, the Martin Pipe. I've gone for Front View, a horse that I actually napped to win. I think it was around Thurles a couple of weeks ago. Ran a good race in Patton Company to finish second on that day. I think this has sort of been the long-term target with him. And as I say, he's back down into handicapping company. He's one of the market leaders. I think Front View is a big player in the festival closer.
Okay, and final question. Be nice and snappy about this one. Okay, you know, I don't want you to think too much. But too much, you know, playing with your own mind on this. Who's going to be top trainer? Who's going to be top jockey? Go. I knew this would happen.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I've joined a little... I know you said don't be long-winded with this. I've joined a little competition, a little sort of fantasy competition, Cheltenham competition.
Well, you see, John, many years ago...
Yeah, and I've put three in as possibilities. And I've put in Ollie Murphy, Dan Skelton, and... who was the other one I've put in? Goodness me. Henry de Bromhead for the trainers. So I put in Dan Skelton. So obviously Harry Skelton's a player.
Yeah.
Rachel Blackmore as a jockey. And someone else, another. Again, just trying to look away from the others. It's probably going to fall. I think Gordon Elliott's got a very strong hand, as always is the case. Nicky Henderson could have a fine week. But they're a little bit obvious. Probably Henry de Bromhead, Rachel Blackmore. I think it could be a real big week for both of those. If he had to nail me down to one, one combination, it would be Henry de Bromhead, Rachel Blackmore.
Now, their fortunes obviously be fairly meshed together with riding many of his leading horses.
It's probably a little unoriginal, that, but I do think they're in for a big week, and many professionals, I think, are thinking the same way.
Well, let's take a look now at the Grade Ones on Tuesday. We've already talked about the Supreme, so we don't need to go through that again. I will just remind our listeners, 7 places we're paying on that festival. I don't know whether it's here at William Hill online in our shops. You can get that. The second race is the Arkle. This is the 2.10. Let's go for the prices at time of recording. Notebook is 3-1, 9-2 for Fakir Duderi. Brewing Up a Storm is 11-2. Cashback is 7-1, 11-1. For Esprit de Large, Moira Banry 12-1 with Rouge Vif, it's 14-1 and bigger for the rest. Gareth, I'm just going to start off with my thoughts actually on this one, which is, I think Notebook is a classic example. You get horses turn up to the Cheltenham Festival, often in novice chases, and they have not done anything wrong, or they've done very little wrong, and they end up being such a backable price, like he's 3-1, just because people go, oh well, it's the Cheltenham Festival, he's going to be trying something else, he's going to be doing something new, it's going to be very difficult. I think if this was at Leopardstown, he's probably half the price, and I really fancy him to win for the aforementioned Henry de Bromhead Rachel Blackmore combination.
Yeah, it could be a great start to the meeting for them. And Notebook, obviously, he's coming into this having won his last four, and he's beaten one or two of these as well, including the horse that I'm going to select. I would like to see Fakir Duderi get revenge on Notebook from when they last met. I know a lot has happened since then, but I still can't get out of my mind that race that we had over at Fairy House, the Drinmore, right at the start of the season back in December, when Fakir Duderi and Sam Crow were going side by side. Fakir Duderi is a sublime jumper of a steeplechase fence. Now, he was never quite getting to Notebook last time out, but as you say, that was around his favourite Leopardstown. Again, Fakir Duderi has got some Cheltenham form. He was fourth in the Supreme, I think it was, back last year. He handles testing ground. I think it's going to turn up as a sort of soft tomorrow. I just think he's a live contender, and again, he's a slightly bigger price than Notebook. It's not your regular Arkle where you get a Duvan or a Vatour, i.e. a twos on, a threes on favourite. It's a wide open renewal.
More like last year's race, really, isn't it?
A little bit like last year's race, yeah. Brewing Up a Storm is another horse who's got a live chance. I think he's going to be fresher than most, having had the best part of 4 months off the track, but he's thought an awful lot of by Ollie Murphy. The champion jockey, Richard Johnson, is on board that one. But there are some great jumpers in this race, and there's likely to be an awful lot of pace on as well. The two mares down at the bottom, Moira Banry, who I've seen in the flesh this season, boy, does she jump well. Mm. She's unbeaten over steeplechase fences. She's a much bigger price, around about 12-1 with us here. She probably just lacks the class required to win an Arkle.
I could see her grabbing a place.
But she could be a place player, as could the bottom one be. Put the Kettle on. Henry de Bromhead, Aidan Coleman teaming up. She's 16-1 with us here at Hills. She's got Cheltenham winning form. And she surprised a few when she won that day. That race that she won here at the earlier meeting, which was 114 days ago, so she's been kept fresh for this. She was sent off the outsider of the lot, but she kept jumping, she kept galloping. But I just wonder, are they going to set it up for something that's ridden a little bit more conservatively? And I think Fakir Duderi might just sit on the heels of the leading couple, be in a fine position turning for home. I think the Irish might just win this. I'm hoping it's Fakir Duderi, but it's a wide open race.
The feature race on day one of the Cheltenham Festival is the champion hurdle. Epitant is the 11-4 favourite, 7-1 for Stelos Emery, also 11-1 for Pentland Hills, who's been very weak in the betting on Monday. Super Sunday 10-1, Darvis Star is 11-1, 12-1 for Sharjah, Curse Sublime is 14-1, 16's Call Me Lord, 18-1 for Ballyandy and Fuels or Raffles, 20-1 and bigger for the rest. I like former festival winner Ballyandy each way in this one. Gareth, what do you think?
I've seen you're a bit bullish about this one. Social media has been lighting up with Ballyandy. Quotes. Look, the fact that this race, for the first time in quite a long time, I'd imagine, has got 17 runners, I think tells you all you need to know about it. This is not a vintage-looking champion hurdle on paper, and I think they're all coming out of the woodwork to have a go. Horses which have tried before and have failed, they're back in having another go, and they're not out of it. Again, the race is going to be run on pretty testing ground. We saw how it developed last year. Look, the one horse for me in this race that could go on and win back-to-back champion hurdles. She's young. She's trained by Nicky Henderson. She's owned by JP McManus, Epitant. She is the one which could be a standout. But you have to take into consideration that when she did come to Cheltenham at the festival last year, for whatever reason, she completely bombed out. She's been very impressive so far this term. But again, she had the little coughing situation, didn't she, not so long ago. She's 11-4 favourite. But again, it's a pretty weak champion hurdle. It's weak. You're liking Ballyandy for it. You know what I'm saying?
I think Epitant is the one I'm most worried about. If Epitant wins, I would not be surprised at all, especially given the connections. And by the way, if there are any younger listeners, you know, out there listening, I just want to let you know, there was a time before JP McManus owned the winner of the champion hurdle every single year. Mm. Possibly not this year, though, because she has been very impressive. Does the course form from last year put you off at all when she bombed out in the festival?
It has to be a bit of a concern. I do like horses that have been to the festival before and have proved themselves, you know, worthy. And Epitant was sent off at a short price for, was it the Mayor's Novices last year? Which, let's face it, is one of the newer races, is one of the weaker races of the entire meeting. And she just completely bombed. And, yeah, that would be a little concerning for me. Pentland Hills, again, is probably short enough.
Can't have him at all.
On what he's done this season, I know he's had a wind up. Could be, but he's always been he's one of these horses which he's always carried a lot of belief, and but you know, he's only proved it once when he scored in the Triumph. This season for me, he's got it to find, I think, on what I've seen so far from him this term. You like Ballyandy each way, off a mark of 155. What's the highest rated in this? Is it 160 Super Sunday? you know, they're all sort of rated.
163 Charger.
163 Charger.
Not the most consistent.
Cornerstone Lad, the horse that lowered the colours of Bouvardere earlier in the season. You know, 159. If he was trained by anyone other than Mickey Hammond, he'd be half that price.
Yeah, that's true.
It's that sort of race. So I think it could easily fall to something at a bigger price. It's not a race that I've had a bet in yet. It's probably not a race that I'm going to touch with a great deal of my cash, for sure. And that's my final answer on it. I'm going to wish you luck with Bally Andy.
Thank you very much.
On what he's done this season, I think he's capable in a below par renewal of definitely being competitive up the hill. But for me, yeah, if there is one horse that could completely blow them away, it's Epatant. But I wouldn't be backing her to do so at 11-4.
Gareth, we're a little bit short on time, but we'll take a look at the final Grade 1 on day one of Cheltenham, the 2.5 mile mare's hurdle, the Close Brothers mare's hurdle as it is now. Benny De Dieu is a 4-7 favourite. Honeysuckle 11-4. Last year's winner Roxana is 11-1. Stormy Island is 11-1, and it's 22-1 bar. Obviously, Benny De Dieu would have won this race last year if she hadn't fallen, almost certainly. Gareth, Honeysuckle, worthy contender, cracking contest.
Yeah, I think Honeysuckle might just improve a little bit for this step up to 2.5. I'll be trying to get Benny De Dieu beat. She beat in the race last year. Obviously, she fell last year when looking to have it won. But again, she's going to be sent off at odds on. I was heartbroken to see Lady Buttons turning up in this because I've backed her at massive odds for the champion chase. Never mind. But again, I can see her running a big race. She's 25-1 and she's in the form of her life at the age of 10. She might be a place contender. But I'm going to try and get Benny De Dieu beat this time with Honeysuckle again for Blackmore and Bromhead. It could be a potent combination this week.
It certainly could. And on day one of the Cheltenham Festival, we'll be live from 1 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio for coverage of all 7 races live, in addition to the supporting cards from Stubble, Sedgefield and Newcastle as well. Please do join us then. Another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast to come tomorrow as we look ahead to Wednesday at the festival. And Gareth, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.